to the man himself. Paul Marsh is the CEO, the Chief Executive of the Players Association. He joins us on Sports Day. Paul, welcome.
Yeah, good to chat, guys.
Paul, this is pretty significant, is it not?
Well, it's a pretty significant issue, and you know, it's complex and it's difficult, and we've spent a little while working through it with the AFL, but I think where we've landed is a fair situation now, our position for the playing group, given the circumstances that we're dealing with.
Paul, was there pressure to get one out? We saw other sports, they've come out recently in the last week or so. We even spoke to Todd Greenberg, who represents another big players' union as well. Was there any public pressure? I know you don't look at that, but was there pressure to get something out?
A bit coming from you the other day, wasn't there, Jim? Everyone wants a bit of certainty at the moment, and I think, you know, what we've been able to build into this policy is, you know, some key dates depending on where each of the states are at. So clearly at the moment in Victoria, we've got AFLW players who are in their pre-season. We've got AFL players who are wanting to get into the clubs. We need to give them some certainty. We've got players around the country in similar positions. But in other states, you know, at the moment, there's really no COVID. So we've been able to push back dates for first and second doses in the non-Victorian states, which we think is a really pragmatic outcome. We've also built in a clause here that if the government positions change, we have an ability to review this policy. So, you know, whilst at the moment every player, the expectation is that they'll get vaccinated by these dates, if things change, you know, we can change with it.
So on that, Paul, and you know, the ramifications for players that don't get vaccinated, I think are pretty extreme, and I'm not saying that in a good or bad sense. They can exercise any rights that the club may have to terminate a player's playing contract, but such rights are not to be exercised prior to the 18th of May. So that's really the cutoff date for when things can kick in. Given how full-on some of these sections of the contract around remuneration are you confident that compliance is going to be quite high? I mean, of course, you wouldn't have been able to get all 800 players on the phone in the last few weeks, but I can only gauge from this that the PA's got a fairly good sense that the vast majority of players are going to get vaxxed.
Yeah, I mean, we've met with all playing groups, male and female, over the last month or so. We've got a very good sense of it. I mean, I don't think I'd be stating this too highly to say that we're looking at probably 99% plus players that will be vaccinated. So, practically, this is not a huge issue for the collective, but for the individuals that are, working through these issues at the moment, clearly it's a big issue. And I think, we've had to negotiate that with the AFL. I think we've landed in a fair position for all sides. But, you know, the players still have an opportunity to work through their own individual circumstances, which, you know, we continue to discuss with them.
I agree with all that, Paul. And as we read through it, it makes a lot of sense. And we make a lot of assumptions that pretty much everyone will take up, you know, the double vax. It says one line, clubs will determine the action to be taken with respect to, you know, payments, employment status. So is that putting it that each club can make their own decision, or will the players' union and the AFL still have an involvement if a player decides not to be double vaxxed?
Well, I think, you know, what we've put in place here is that every player will receive a payment of a minimum of 25% for the AFLW players, their contract. For the AFL male players, 25% of the minimum. But there's an opportunity for the club and the player then to negotiate that. And there'll be different circumstances. I mean, some players might be on multi-year contracts and clubs may want to keep them on their list and pay them at full-toed odds. They're all the things that will be worked through. Clearly from a legal perspective, without going too far down that path, we've taken advice here, and the player's position is not a particularly strong one. We've gone through what we think is a pragmatic outcome. The industry is supportive. You know, we are an industry, I think, that does support our people well. So I think, you know, there's an understanding here that there wouldn't be a player in the competition who doesn't want to play, and there are some circumstances here that are making it difficult for players to get vaccinated. So I think we're all doing our best to look after those players.
The legal issue that you just mentioned about the players not being in a strong position, I think that's a fascinating one for so many of our listeners, Paul. I mean, we can't use players' names, obviously, because that would be unfair. But if player XYZ, who's on a five-year deal and very well remunerated comparative to his teammates, decides, well, actually, I don't want to get vaccinated, and when I signed this multi-year deal with my club, there was nothing in the contract about this. It would be very interesting for a lawyer on his behalf to argue that case, I would think.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to get too much into the detail, and this isn't just a football issue. This is, you know, any worker in the current environment. It's a consideration here that we've worked through with the AFL in developing the policy.
And do you feel like this is just another example of footballers, whether they want to be or not, have to be, Jimmy, and you've been through this,
yep,
they have to be at the forefront of this in social issues. Now, whether that's drink driving, whether that's drug use, whether it's some sort of other social issue.
Well, Tom McDonald's comments led the news. So that just proves that,
yeah,
that their opinion gets, you know, flows down.
But I mean, yeah, but so the governments, both federally Liberal government and the Labor government here in this state, have been very, very strong, as many other degrees of politics have been, on we've got to get vaxxed. So I think that puts Paul, the AFL, and, you know, consequently, its players in that box, that whether they want to be or not, they kind of have to be industry leaders in this.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a burden that that, you know, all high profile people do carry. And I think our guys and girls carry that really well. You know, there are times where they can be a bit of a lightning rod, but, you know, we've got to accept that and move on. And, you know, this issue, as I said, it's been a complex one. And, you know, we're in a position now because of government directions, both in Victoria and the country, where, you know, there's really no choice on this one. But I think, you know, if I go back to the point I made before about the number of players that have willingly got vaccinated here, you know, we're well ahead of, you know, what we're seeing in community at the moment. So I'm really proud of what the our members have done on this particular topic. And, you know, we're certainly supportive of trying to get as many of the players vaccinated as possible.
Paul, your organisation does, as you said, it supports its players brilliantly. Have you had much consultation with the AFLW women's player who's decided not to be vaxxed and really is foregoing her AFLW career in that way?
Yeah, look, you know, Jimmy, we don't tend to talk about individual circumstances, but, you know, what I would say is that, you know, we're aware of players from around the competition. We've had lots of conversations with individual players, and, you know, we'll continue to support, you know, any player in this position.
Do you think, like, we saw Tom McDonald that Jimmy mentioned a couple of nights, Paul, and you would have seen those comments. He's double vaxxed, but he thinks it's wrong to mandate. Do you get a sense that there are more of those types in the amongst your constituents?
Yeah, I mean, like any issue, AFL players are just a subset of the community. So, you know, you go to a dinner party, which, you know, hopefully we can do from tomorrow.
Touch wood, yeah.
You'll probably get, you know, 10 people sitting around a table, and there'll be two or three that will have that view. So our players are no different in that sense. And, you know, I think it's really healthy that we have players that are willing to speak up and have the courage to speak up on issues, because, as Jimmy said, you know, they will be front page news. But I think it's a really healthy thing that players are prepared to speak up on issues. So, you know, this one's no different.
And what would be, Paul, without going into specifics, I guess, an example of a medical exemption? So just reading from the document here, for players who do not comply with the policy and do not have an approved medical exemption from the AFL. So read from that there can be players who aren't fully vaxxed playing with an exemption?
Well, it's only basically what lines up with the government exemptions, which I'm sure you're aware is very narrow. It's basically, you know, if you can prove you've had an anaphylactic reaction to it. So it's, you know, it's nearly impossible to prove.
Okay. Well, Paul, it's a crazy time, for want of a better term. And it is for so many parts of our community. And as you rightly suggested, the AFL is a subset of that, but it's still a very public subset of it. So we appreciate you coming on, and we'll push ahead for what we hope to be a very successful AFLW season and then into the AFL men's next year. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Good to chat.